The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our Friday Forum, and we're joined by Elaine O'Loughlin, who is Deputy Political Editor of the Irish Examiner, Christopher O'Sullivan, Fianna Fáil TD for Cork South West, and spokesman on the Environment, Climate Action and Biodiversity, Gary Gannon, TD for Dublin Central, and Social Democrats spokesperson for Higher Education, Arts, Social Protection, Foreign Affairs and Defence. Good morning and welcome to one and all. We'll start with the story du jour, I suppose, the emissions business and 25% cuts for the farming sector. I'll go to you, Elaine, first of all. Is it done and dusted now? Is that the end of the row?
It may be the end of the row between the Agriculture Minister and Minister Eamon Ryan, who you had on just before us, Pat. But I think you will hear a lot of noise coming from the backbenchers in the coming days, both across Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Green Party, because I don't think, just like the various representative organisations and groups, no one seems to be happy with these targets.
Which is normally the recipe for a good deal.
It is, but in this case, it seems like if you talk to the Green Party members, that they had really wanted that agricultural emissions target to be up at the 30%, and if not, very close to it. So 25% is a big climb down for them. And they cite that, or they cite these sectoral targets as the main reason for going into government, to get these over the line. Now, on the flip side of that, some might say that these targets would never have been drawn up if the Greens hadn't gone in. So at least there are some targets, and they're legally binding targets in place at the moment.
OK, Christopher O'Sullivan, what's your take on this? Are you happy?
Well, first of all, I'm happy that we actually have targets, because I think it would have been an absolute disaster if we kicked the can down the road to September, as was being muted in some circles. But we have targets now, so each sector and each sector now knows what targets that they have to work within. Obviously, look, this is vital for a couple of reasons. Number one, we are running out of time when it comes to climate change. And Pat, this isn't something that's going to affect our children's children or children. Mm-hmm. This is impacting our generation right now. So that's number one. And number two, a lot of feedback that I was getting from farmers, and I'm right down here in West Cork in the heartland of Derry, is that they didn't want this kind of Brexit type scenario where it's drawn out of fair. It just went on for months and months. They wanted an answer. But at the same time, I met farmers yesterday. We had a meeting that just happened to be scheduled with the ICMSA in relation to rural crime. And obviously the focus was this 25%, and they're quite anxious, they're concerned, they're worried about what the future holds. So no, I think the onus is on us as government to set out and to put in clear measures and incentives and supports to ensure that they can reach
that
target.
So you're not going to be rocking the boat then, I take it. You're going with the 25%.
Look, this is the target that has come about through really tricky negotiations, Pat. On the one hand...
I'm just trying to clarify your own situation. You are going along with the 25%. You're not going to cause trouble, in other words.
I wouldn't cause a troublemaking. I think we have to respect what were really tough negotiations. On one hand, you had the Rural Independents with a position of 0% cut. On the other hand, you had the very urban-centric parties like the Social Democrats and the Labour Party looking for a 30% cut, not really taking into account the impact that would have had on...
Just to be clear, Chris, your agriculture spokesperson is based in your constituency. We're not urban-centric.
Very, very urban-centric, I would say, Labour.
I've clarified these terms anyway. You're going to work with the 25%. That's your philosophy. Now, Gary, with the exception of an underground farm that Harry Crosby wrote about recently in some of his yarns, you're not. There isn't, a pasture for cattle in your constituency.
No, but there is a pasture for sustainability. We will be impacted by the same climate change consequences that everybody else, not only in my constituency, but in Ireland and in the global world. If temperatures keep increasing as they are, by 2035, we'll have global crop failure. We'll all be impacted by that. So yesterday, as the Social Democrat spokesperson on climate, Jennifer Whitmore, has been saying for the last number of weeks, we needed the maximum level of ambition. That was what we were calling for, not only because... for some ridiculous notion that Christopher just said there, we're urban centre, we absolutely aren't. But because independent scientific experts were saying that we have to be ambitious.
I'm just wondering, though, we're ambitious. We're a tiny little island with a very small national herd. We talked about it earlier. Brazil is going to increase its national herd by more than the total of our national herd by 2030. So, you know, it doesn't matter how ambitious we are. We're a drop in the ocean if the Brazilians keep doing what they're doing.
We have to play our part, but we can't judge ourselves by the standard.
Do you know what I mean? It just seems foolish that we don't have joined up thinking in the globe. They increase by over 6 million, possibly 7 million by the 2030, and we drop maybe down to 5 million instead of 6 million. That sum doesn't add up in my head.
Sure, but if we don't play, we can't just say actually the Brazilian government or other countries around the world that act in a way that's negligible to the global interest, so we should mimic them. I don't think we do that. We demonstrate actually best practice, say that we are citizens of the world too. We live in a developed society. We need to play our part. And actually one of the things that we said was they're playing a part was to meet these climate targets and the Green
Party. We live in this integrated world, Gary. You know what President Putin did in February has impacted the price of food in Irish shops.
Yeah.
So we can't just say let Brazil do what Brazil does and we become the best boy in class.
No, I say that we actually need to stand up and demonstrate what's right and what's accurate. And we've had young people who were when we went into an election 2 years ago, one of the means by which the Green Party increased their vote was by calling for climate urgency, demonstrating that we have 12, saying that we have 12 years in order for sustainability on the planet and that we actually needed to be ambitious.
Yep.
Sorry, Christopher, I'll be finished in a second, you can come in. And then what we've had yesterday was a 24% target that's not actually going to meet that.
Christopher.
I have to come in and respond to Gary saying that there's no ambition there and that we're not serious about climate action. This government has done more than any government previously in terms of climate action. We've introduced a climate action bill which sets our targets of 51% by 2030 in carbon neutrality. We've introduced a circular economy bill. We've introduced a Marine Planning Act which will allow us ramp up renewable energy. But we've also done a lot on biodiversity. We introduced an extra spending of 40 million in biodiversity in budget 2022 and 50 million for the restructuring of National Parks and Wildlife Service. So this, what we're hearing from opposition. Yeah. And again, I will say it is Dublin-based cities that are using terms like
Christopher, just to be clear, yesterday's targets as were announced.
Any of these Dublin-based TDs who are describing dairy in West Cork as big dairy and industrial dairy, I would welcome them down to visit a dairy farm in West Cork where the cow numbers between 70 and 90 perhaps, and see how well and how they do adhere to anything that they're asked to do. And I think that's forgotten. I think agriculture is often labelled as a big bad boy by a lot of...
Christopher, one of the reasons for the intensification of dairy farming was because of decisions taken by Simon Coveney 10 years ago. And that's what we're saying, is if we keep increasing as we were, the level of flooding that's going to be increases. The farms in West Cork is going to be impacted by the changes in climate as anybody else will be in the world. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, but I mean, proportionality here, the Chinese are still opening coal-fired power stations and we're, as I say, being best boy in class.
One of the main things that even Eamon Ryan mentioned yesterday was the need to not be divisive on this and to just accept the targets now and work towards them. And what we have here is a very divisive argument from both of our other panellists, you know, with the kind of Dublin-based TD's argument and as well my fellow panellist across from me here, and I don't think that's going to get us anywhere.
Okay, I want to move on to other things. This is just out of the blue, but Chris, Sabina Higgins, the president's missus, writing a letter to the Irish Times calling for the war to end in Ukraine, and then Yuri Filatov, the Russian ambassador, the discredited Russian ambassador, agreeing with her. Was she wise, Chris, or not, to write to the papers?
But I think she was, of course, wise to ask for a peaceful resolution to the conflict that we see in Ukraine. But having met Sabina and knowing Sabina and having met the president, I think that they will take absolutely no comfort or pleasure whatsoever from the fact that they're being praised by Yuri Filatov, who has proved himself.
So was it wise for her to get involved in that kind of public discourse?
No, I think she was quite right to express an opinion that we need to see a peaceful resolution in Ukraine. But, I mean, Yuri, Mr. Filatov, chirping, and I think they'll absolutely get no comfort from that. He's proven himself to be a liar. He's proven himself to be disingenuous. Yeah, I just want to take one of his quotes. He said, "She's against war, and we are all against war." This is from Yuri Filatov. That is another blatant lie from someone who I think has completely been discredited.
Okay, Gary?
He has been discredited. He came before the Foreign Affairs Committee before the invasion and said that it would be insanity for the Russian Federation to invade Ukraine. And 2 weeks later, they were invading. There was one big omission from Sabina's contribution to the Irish Times, and that she didn't outline who exactly she felt the aggressor was in the conflict. I think it's very well for us to talk about we're all anti-war. Of course we are. But at the same place we're anti-war, there's rockets being rained down on Kherson.
You think she should have said, listen,
Putin is the aggressor. So, I mean, calling for leaders to come around the table and come to a peaceful resolution, of course we all want that.
I think, one thing that the letter did do is it keeps the war in Ukraine on the agenda, because I know in recent weeks, maybe all of the attention has gone on, and rightly so, the accommodation crisis here with the numbers of Ukrainian refugees arriving in our country. But her letter certainly put the focus back on what's happening actually in Ukraine. And that's important, especially now, as the war goes on.
You know, she has her own identity and so on, but she is living as the consort of the president in a home provided by the state. Is it appropriate that such a consort should ever be involved in public debate in which the president might not be involved?
I suppose on the flip side, she's a private citizen. Anyone is allowed right into to the editor of a paper, letters to the editor. That's what it's open for.
Moving on to the other big story, and this is about the levy on builders. Now, Gary, you may not have cattle in Dublin, in Dublin 1, but you certainly have lots of apartment blocks that have fire safety issues.
Yeah, we certainly do. And Cian O'Callaghan here, a housing spokesperson, was out very quickly yesterday. We were talking about all the things we can't do. We can't put a levy on defective apartments that were built years ago, we've been told. But there are things the government can do now. So, for example, introduce a mandatory latent building defects insurance scheme. I mean, that's something that should be happening. I heard Pat Montague on your show the other day.
Yeah, absolutely. Common sense.
Common sense. That needs
but
to happen.
But he also said that there was institutional resistance to that, suggesting that within the civil service there was resistance. And for the life of me, I couldn't understand why that would be.
I can't understand why that would be either. But I mean, I suppose a lot of the institutional resistance would have come from the culture we had in political before, in politics before. That would have been kind of Galway tent led. So what about institutional resistance? There's certainly a mentality there from previous governments, and I'm pointing the finger at Fianna Fáil here, and we have a Fianna Fáil housing minister now. There are things we can do right this second to ensure that actually these things don't happen again. Close down quarries that are still producing defective materials that are going into homes. Why isn't that happening? Why do we still have quarries that are still producing?
I would have thought they would long
they are
closed.
Not, but they are still there. They haven't been closed down.
All right, Christopher, your party perhaps maligned there, but the truth of it was there was the Galway tent, there was the famous Burlington Hotel office where monies were passed to Mary Hannafin's father, the late Des Hannafin. So this stuff did go on.
I can tell you, Pat, I was a long way from the Galway tent, but I think it's also fair to say that Gary mentioned the housing minister there. It was Dara Brian who called for this report in opposition. It was a programme for government promise that this report would be commissioned, that we would assess and find out exactly how many properties and how many homes were impacted by this. And he's done that. We have the report that was published yesterday. I understand the next step along the way is for the minister to publish his own report, which would include measures as to how this can be rectified.
See, the only way to get money out of the builders that is not passed on to the homeowner directly, however indirectly, is to tax their profits, a levy on their profits. You know, otherwise they just add the money to the price of the house.
And I understand the report highlighted difficulties with that, but I also do firmly believe that there is a strong intention there from the minister to do it in the form of some type of levy. I guess we get more detail.
The fear here, I think, is such a levy might just go directly back onto the price of a new home when it's built, because a builder will be levied X amount and they'll put it onto the cost price, or it'll become like another insurance levy and banking levy that continues on, and really the taxpayer continue. I do understand that this cannot be retrospective, but at the same time, it does seem slightly unfair if you've across the board levy on even the brick producers or the builders, because many of those manufacturers and those in the construction sector are not guilty here, and they had high standards in building. Others didn't, but this levy would impact everybody, and it may cause a further
But the real thing is to get at the people who are guilty as charged of producing defective homes or apartment blocks, and, you know, name and shame the directors who are responsible and never let them get into construction ever again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and but change. Unfortunately in this country that's down the legal route, and it'll take years and years and years.
We need to change company law so that we can go after those directors who are responsible for them.
Finally, we are told, reading the reports today, Christopher, that the Minister for Housing, aforementioned Dara O'Brien, has now got sight of Remy Farrell's report into Paul Hyden on board Planola. Do you want to see that report soonest?
Yes, as soon as possible. We need to find out exactly what was going on there, get details of it. You know, there's been a lot of serious question marks raised about on board Planola, about their operations. I mean, even further articles today in relation to board members of On Board Planola and their conduct. So we need to get all of that out on the table. I think everybody,
Gary, absolutely needs to be brought out and needs to potentially, there was a limited nature to the scope of that particular report. So we also need to see if we need to expand it too, to look at other factors too, that weren't considered, or maybe people knew but didn't come to the fore of the afterwards.
Elaine?
And I think this is critical to the restoration of trust really in On Board Planola, because people expect when On Board Planola are looking at a certain development or a certain project that it will be fairly looked at, but that's under question now.
On that note, we will leave it there. Elaine Loughlin, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Examiner, Christopher O'Sullivan, Fianna Fáil TD for Cork South West and Spokesperson on the Environment, Climate Action and Biodiversity, and Gary Gannon, TD for Dublin Central and Social Democrat Spokesperson for Higher Education, Arts, Social Protection, Foreign Affairs and Defence. My God, you have a big brief, Gary. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.